is a lie. It hides the truth. Beyond the neon lights lurk dark shadows that feed on those that stray too close. In the heart of Tokyo walk creatures never mentioned in the guidebooks. Creatures that need the blood of the living. From Shinjuku to Shibuya, the undead are the hidden power that control this city. Learn the hidden truth in this narrative podcast by independent author Brent Thomas. Learn the hidden truth of Bloody Tokyo. Chapter 20. In the aquarium behind her, sharks swam. They had been a present and meant to deliver the message that she should not forget who and what she truly was. The implied meaning was obviously meant to be understood that she was a hunter, a predator. At least that was one level of understanding. Hoshino once again turned her attention to the tablet that had been prepared for her, and again she started the video it contained. A smiling face appeared and a man was talking about how much there was to do and see in Tokyo. Hoshino understood that the video had been quite long and that only 5 seconds of this preamble remained. She wished her assistants had trimmed off an additional 4 seconds of the tedium. Then it happened. A blur of motion, and some of the crowd just out of frame fell over. The camera jerked away, focusing on the talking man's shoes. It stayed there just long enough for the focus to adjust, giving her a detailed look at how the man tied his laces. Then the camera jerked up, and more precious time was lost by the camera's slow change in focus. When the screen finally cleared, it was cluttered with people fleeing. She could just make out a fight going on behind the scattering crowd. Just as the fighters were about to be clearly seen, someone bumped into the cameraman, and once again, the picture went spinning, likely landing on the ground. Everything was dark. When it was picked up, the scene was now filtered through dirty water, giving everything a brownish haze. Hoshino could make out a woman. She was pretty, but Hoshino could not recognize her at all, which should have been unlikely, given the woman's obvious supernatural abilities. No one normal moved as fast as she had been. Assuming that she was one of the brawlers. The woman was saying something to the crowd. Another figure was to her side, and, as bad luck would have it, his face was hidden behind a thicker spat of the mud that coated the camera lens. The woman in the video once again spoke, her voice a high-pitched chirp. The cameraman tried to zoom in, and again the focus swam. This was the point in the video where Hoshino almost wanted to snap at him to buy a better camera. When the screen finally cleared, the woman was pulling the man away. That was when it happened. For a brief moment, the man's face was perfectly framed. It was clear that he was bruised and that his face was torn. But even with all the wounds and the dirty camera lens, it was also obvious who the man in question was. Shinichi once again walked the streets of Tokyo. Hoshino was almost disappointed to see him. She had begun to hope that he had left the city to take up residence in one of the quieter prefectures where he could rest up and start again. That would have meant that she would not need to even bother thinking about him for at least a decade. That would be more than enough time for her to decide that her anger had faded and that she could let her vendetta against him slide. She could even state that she forgave him his feeding in her territory. It would have been in the past, but now it would be too recent. It was still very much in the present. She had no choice but to pursue it, at least for a little while longer. The truth of the matter was, Hoshino had begun to suspect that she had been manipulated into starting this feud. To be certain, respecting territory was of grave importance, and Shinichi's temerity did demand some form of answer. But perhaps sending a Yakuza death squad after him had been a bit much. That was an act of anger, and even worse, it had been misplaced anger. Now more than ever, Hoshino was certain she was caught up in yet another machination of Yamagata. The old man did enjoy playing the puppet master and keeping his competitors nipping at each other's throats so that his consolidation of power went unnoticed. And that was exactly what he had done with Hoshino and Shinichi. The only good thing was that currently Hoshino's fingerprints were not directly connected to the attack. And as much as Yamagata could suspect and infer, there was nothing he could truly prove. Not that if the sly bird began chirping in Shinichi's ear, much proof would be needed. Implication would be enough. And then she and Shinichi would be battling on an even front. Hoshino sighed. She considered watching the video again, but decided against it. Instead, she looked out the specially treated windows of her office. The view of Shinjuku sprawl was quite impressive, especially from this height. She would need to come to a decision as to how to rectify this Shinichi situation. In all likelihood, that would mean the spilling of blood. But before she fully made her decision, she needed to find out all she could about this mystery woman. She would have her assistant start compiling self-recognition data. If there was one thing that Tokyo had an abundance of, after all, it was security cameras. She turned away from the window and once again watched the sharks gracefully swim through the immense aquarium. As Hoshino watched the fish swim, their appetites currently sated, she wondered about the other meaning that the present could have been meant to deliver. No matter how sharp her teeth were, she was little more than a creature fenced in by glass. One day, she would have to send Yamagata a message of her own.
/Brent Thomas, liking the Brent Thomas author page on Facebook, and by visiting deadlytroubadour.com.
Hey, hey everyone, this is Brent, your friendly author of the Bloody Tokyo podcast. Well, normally here's when I tell you about how awesome my Patreon patrons are, but today I want to tell you a little something that you can get if you join my patron. So as this goes up, it should be February 21st. Now, a little bit after that, there will be a ebook available just for the patrons, and that'll be the season one of Bloody Tokyo. If that's something you're interested in, you should really go check it out. It's going to be available for all patrons up until the end of March 21st, and then it'll just go behind a little paywall only for my $3 a month patrons. And of course, it'll probably also be available as an ebook everywhere after March 21st as well. But I thought you should know that any paying patrons will have access to a free ebook download. So, hey, if you want to read this in its all written glory, then go check it out. All right, Thank you very much. Bye.